we've been doing and where we are today, and some of the little directions for us in the future. Now, to all of you, most of you sort of seen us before when we've come in. We're sort of, this was our own little church here for a couple of years, about 3 years. I think we was here 3 years having a fellowship with a little Aboriginal group that used to fellowship here. And a lot of us Aboriginal people, we are products of missions, and a lot of Church of Christ folk and Baptist Church ministries, Uniting Church. And what we look at it is God was faithful to us as Aboriginal people right from, you know, settlement time coming through. There was a lot of challenges in all of that, a lot of challenges in missions, and, you know, a lot of things did go wrong. But at the end of the day, we all honestly believe that many of us who have come out of those mission systems, we came to know Christ as mission kids, and we did take in the rough stuff, but we also took in the Word of God. And most of us come out the other side and wanted to be missionaries. A bit ironic, eh? You know, your system took us away from our parents, and many of us, some of us were for years in missions, you know, sitting under missionaries, but also here in the Word. And I grew up in a Church of Christ mission just down in the south, and I also was a little time in a UAM mission in Noongar. And we had the Word. You know, the Word was the most important thing. So I came away where some folk come away with negative and big hurts and a lot of harmful things that had been done. I come away very happy because it was there I found Jesus as a young kid going to school. And all I wanted to do was become a missionary. I didn't get to go overseas, but a lot of our missionary work is done with our Aboriginal people. And we've been wonderful support from our brethren to, you know, get on and get out there and do the work and the ministry, and be also support workers to a lot of our missionaries. Some of them are still there, and we're still there today. So for me, myself, I'm so thankful. We've been, I think, about 40 years now in the ministry, so we've taken in most parts of Australia and made friends and friendship with brothers and sisters all over. And, you know, I think one of the funny things about it, it's not funny but it's a good thing, is that we don't really call just one place home. We seem like we got a home all over, because when we go to different places, we've been blessed with the Christian brethren that have looked after us, who've cared for us, and also gave us the Word of God, and still continue to do that today. Now, I'm up in my age, I'm nearly 73, but I still do a lot of support work all over Australia with Aboriginal women and women in general. And I've been blessed because the last 6 years I've been the national chairperson of the Aboriginal Evangelical Ministries within the women area. And we have white sisters and with us too, so it's not just because it's, you know, called the Aboriginal Ministry. We have a partnership with other white brethren and churches that work with us, and I've been really blessed with that. So this is my 6 year ending off. We didn't do too much this year because of COVID and towards the end of the year, but very, very soon in the near future, in June, I'll go back to Sydney and celebrate 50 years of Aboriginal ladies' ministry on the East Coast. So they've invited me to come over and be a part of that celebration, and we're looking forward to going to that. We also will return to Port Augusta at the end of the year for our national convention, which has been running for 50 years. And I think for us as a family, we've been there 30 plus years, travelling across the Nullarbor every, you know, all of that. So our oldest daughter there was only young when we first started travelling over. She's got her own family today and taken her family across. So a lot of the kids, you know, learnt, they grew up in South Australia, up and down, up and down. We also have a tremendous fellowship with the Kimberleys. So we've always gave them support And now there's a lot of vibrant groups up there, and we step back and they're able to take on, and especially with the women's encouragement, support for their men. My husband's just come back from Cherbourg. He was there last week. He was at an Aboriginal community about 3-4 hours out of Brisbane. And it rained the whole time he was there, he said. He just got out before the floods all started. But travelling now these days, even though COVID is a scary thing, one of the things the Lord has been teaching us as a family, regardless of what happens, God expects us to be sensible, but whatever happens, we're going to be with the Lord, no matter. And we have to learn to travel. We can't sit in a box all the time. So, the Lord's looking after us. So, and it's been a blessing. But for us now, where we are, we're still doing lots of funerals. Gerald took 11 funerals straight just recently. And what we do when we go into communities or little country towns to do funerals, I usually arrange a night before or a day before to sit with all the women's group of the families, and I go with them and I have a devotional ministry, I have prayer ministry, and we give them that support. So a lot of our ministry this year has been around with funerals, and sometimes we get opportunities to go to churches. We share with them what we actually do and what we've done in the past and where we are now, and our aim for the future is to still continue on. Even as old as we are, we still want to be bringing the word of God to our people. And I believe with all my heart today, regardless of who you are, the most important thing is to get ready to meet your maker, because things can change. We don't know what's around the corner. Australia has been a blessed country, but what I see in government policies today, really not godly anymore. So we can be challenged with anything. They've got a plague of mice over there, over east. They're eating everything in their pathway. You've got floods. We've had a big earthquake over there in Japan just a couple of nights ago, I think. So things are, they're all upside down. But while on earth here things don't look right, and we could say and use that expression word, the word's up, everything's upside down. While it is upside down, there's things getting put in place in heaven waiting for us to come home. And that can happen any time. One of the main things I did when I first come back to the Lord was read everything about what the Lord is going to do with us during these times, what they call the last days or whatever, the expression is. And I thought it would be a lovely thing to find out a lot of stuff for myself, so when I sit with my family, I'm able to teach them. And then I give them information so that they can go and read about themselves. So after all the funerals we've had, I've stood with my husband right through all those ministries. I sat down one day and I had a little cry very early in the morning, because four of those 11 funerals were two of my brothers, a nephew, which is my brother's son, and a little grandnephew that my husband took the funerals of and been a part of those funerals. And I sat down and I had a little teary moment 5 o'clock in the morning on the veranda, because it's been beautiful weather, so you get up early, And as I was sitting there, I began to cry and I asked the Lord, us as a nation, I said, Lord, Australia is so far away today from you. And it's hard because with COVID shutting down churches and that, it's made it even harder. But Lord, I know that you're still on the throne. And no matter what happens in life, we know that you got the last say for everything. And I sat there and the Lord took me to a reading, and it's a beautiful little reading, and I want to share it with you. It's about Joshua. After all this grieving, in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 and down to 5. Verse 5. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua and the son of Nun, Moses my minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over Jordan, thou and all the people unto the land which I give to you, them, even to the children of Israel. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And just like a lightning bolt, God was saying to me, you had your grieving point now. Now get up, because you've got to keep going. You know, you can have your grieving point, but now it's time to go. And you've got a challenge in your own ministry with your own family, and you're out there, you've got to be able to encourage other people. So don't sit down and cry, you know, and lament. Aboriginal people, they go for months and years grieving. And sometimes it goes so heavy in them, they end up getting sick and because they lose their loved ones. So just like that, the Lord said to me, you've got to get up. You've got to stop grieving now. The same as he said to Joshua. Joshua, now you just imagine the big mob that Joshua had. Get up and you've got to take the people across. And that's what the Lord said to me. Get up, you've got to still get back there and do what I have chosen you to do, what God has given you. And I was really blessed in that. And that verse 5 said to me, no man's going to stand against you. Whatever I've set for you to do, you go ahead. Because as I was with Moses, he said to me, as I was with Joshua, I'm still with you, Jackie, even in this modern time. So there's nothing to be afraid of. And if the challenges come to us as Australia, you've got to ask yourself, where do I stand with Jesus? Do I love him? Do I say I do? Or do I have the actions to prove that I love him? And you know, being old doesn't mean to say you don't have to do nothing. You can witness to your next door neighbour. You can be out there on the street talking to somebody. And I knew a sister, an old Christian sister, who used to go to Carousel and take all the tracks with her. And she'd sit there for right till lunchtime in the morning and she'd be giving out tracks to everyone. You probably won't be able to do this nowadays because people are so, you know, they're hysterical about Christian thing. You know, they'll make you feel the worstest person in the old shopping centre if you start talking to them about the Lord. But she used to do it because her love for Jesus, she had a stroke and it didn't stop her from going. And her daughter used to say, well, what's she doing in there, you know, sitting all day? But that was her journey. She wanted to go, she'd have a meal there and she'd go and give tracts out. And I did that too for, you know, a couple of years. I used to go where the fellas sit on the street busking or wanting money. I'd go and give them a dollar and I'd say, give them a tract as well. And I'd say, there's a dollar here for you, but read that tract there because Jesus might have a message for you. And you don't have to be sitting down here, you know. You can be out there doing something else. Good job, whatever. So I'm never afraid to do that because God always reminds me, no matter what your task is, God is there with you. And he's always promised that. My husband and I, we've travelled all over Australia and we've never been afraid. We've always said God is with us and that's all that matters. We're still doing ministry, we're doing support area, we're still praying for you folk like yourselves and we're still touching base with a lot of the Aboriginal people in town here. But tomorrow I will go up to travel on the train to Kalgoorlie and I'll have 2 weeks up there ministering to the women. And where we used to work in Caps Christian Hostel up there, where the kids from the Kimberleys come down to go to school, I will do devotional mornings with them and support the year 11s and 12s because my youngest daughter actually works up there now as a house parent. She just only not long took it up. But I said, someone in the family has to stand up and be like mum and dad somewhere because we had 6 years up there working in the Christian hostel with children. And we had a real blessing because it wasn't just 10 or 20 kids, it was 40 to 60 kids. And we did all the cooking, washing. And you couldn't do that if you didn't have the Lord in your life because the strength is zapped from you every day. But you get up each morning and it's another challenge. But we're still in Perth, but we do a lot of support work out in the country. So keep us in your prayers. There's a little pamphlet here. I'll leave one with you just to give you an idea. And if Karma wants to run it off or anybody wants one so you can pray for us, it'll be there. It's a picture of these two handsome people here, and two old people with grey hair. But we're out there doing something. But read it, and you know, you might want to keep one. If you want one, they might run it off for you. So that's that little pamphlet for us. And I know that Dennis, Pastor Dennis, is having Easter meetings here, supposedly. We may not be here, but we still got support work out in the country, but we'll certainly be praying for them. And our aim was always that Aboriginal people in the area might be touched, or we might be able to witness to them. So, but thank you for having us. We love coming back to the little fellowship, and we hope to see you a little bit more in the future. So pray for us, and we'll be praying for you. So, thank you.
Well, it's good to be back in the house of God's own house here, praising Him and glorifying Him. When I was in Brisbane the other day, it rained all the time. And I said to the people over there, is it winter or is it summer? They said, it's supposed to be summer. But it's just raining all the time. And I was a little bit worried because I thought, oh, the creeks, the road would be blocked and everything else with all the floods. But God gave us a trip right back. He undertook for us. And I look on the news now, there's water laying everywhere. You know? Really sad. The last one they had over there is in 1999. Yeah. And we were in Bible college over there in what they call New Tribe Bible College, American Standard one. And so, as we look into the precious word here of God, it's coming from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16 down to 24. And it says, let's just ask the Lord to go before us first. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you and we want to thank you for your word because it is so true and so powerful. It is our roadmap that leads all the way to glory. And so help us, Lord, as we look into your precious word and to lift your name higher than any other. And we want to thank you for your word because it is there for us to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Saviour. And so we ask that you go before us, undertake this morning, put the words in my mouth, what you'd want me to say. And as I am your servant, until the day you come to take us off this earth. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, Jackie was saying how whole we are. The Bible tells us to occupy until he comes, no matter how old we are. A lot of people reckon we've taken Botox because we look so young for our age. And I said, no, it's this fellow who's keeping us. Don't have to put needles in our faces, I said. This fellow is keeping us there. And some of the people who are saying it to us, they're younger than us and they look older than us. But I told them they need Jesus in their life. And he will look after us, look after them too as well. The reading I got here, like I said, not coming from 19 down to, from 16 down to 24. And it's speaking about the young rich ruler. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why thou callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honour thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easy for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, and this, that word is there for us to challenge us to be God's servants and to look up and to be faithful unto him. Thanks for this water, sis. I know why you give it to me. The heading of my message is giving until it costs. Remember, we've been brought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves when we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to him and him only. And so we are to do what he wants us to do. Sometimes we want to do what we want to do instead of doing and listening to the word of God. It cost Christ his life. It cost Christ heaven's glory because he came down here on this earth. And as we look at Easter, it's only just down the track, another 2 weeks away, what he done for us on the cross of Calvary. In the Christian life, it will always cost us something. When I went over to Brisbane the other day, it cost us over and back. Christianity from the beginning has always cost. It'll always cost us. But the greatest act of all cost the Son of God his life. And his life on the cross of Calvary for you and I. You know? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him, what he done for me. I'd have probably died outside of Christ and went to a lost eternity. But I know who I'm saving, who I'm serving. And that is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know? He brought me up out of that horrible pit that I was in and stood my foot up on a rock. And then he said, Jerry, from there you go forward and don't look back. Keep going on and keep looking up. There was an old brother of mine. He's going home to glory now. Every morning he used to get out of his house, walk to the backyard, and he used to look up and say, thank you, Lord, for another beautiful day. Another day closer to your return, he used to say. And that's how he was. And he was a real encouragement to my life. To my life. And that's why John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See? That everlasting life is only given to those who accept the Lord as their own personal Saviour. You know? And I'm so thankful for him speaking to me and turning my life around. 180% turnaround and followed him. And I'm here today by the grace of God. That word grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. See? On the cross of Calvary. The only true way is to give until it costs us. And that's what I've done. I've given all my life to him. Sunday morning is a rush around time, especially for us in our camp, because we've got four littlies. And they want to sleep in. They want to, you got to shake the bed, try and get them up. And some of them want to pull the rug over their head. But we got to get them up, and we got to talk nice and kind to them, and we got to love them right through the lot. But praise the Lord, last night I said we got to get up at a certain time. If you want to watch a movie on TV, you got to be up early. So I said, when Pop comes in and tells you to get up, don't roll over and look other way. But they were really good. They were up. They know what Sunday stands for. See? And we were here early. I asked Brother Steve, what time do you have church? I'm always getting here late. So I really praise the Lord for it. A life that is saturated unto God. And as it looks in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 20, it says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God, see? And that's what we are to do. We are to glorify him and to give him all the praise, honour and glory all to him. In the book of Matthew, it tells us again, as God's children, ye are the light of this world. See, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Ye are the light of this world. That's what we are, the light of this world. We are to keep our testimony shining all the time. We can't go in the pubs. I won't even park my car next to a pub or a betting shop because they say he's in there. I'd rather park it down around the corner, walk back to the shop somewhere. And that's how it is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. See? Glorify him. And so we ought to keep that witness, that testimony all the time. And that's why it'll always cost us. We can't have people talking about us. We've got to stand up for the things of our Saviour. See? Standing up for the godly things will always cost us in the long run. And sometimes it'll cost us our family. And what it says about our family, you know, when Jackie and I went to Bible college, right over in Sydney, I said, I won't go to college in Perth because I'll be running home to my family all the time. I said, if I'm going to learn, I want to get right across the other side of the country so I can't get back. And that's what I've done. I went to Bible college over in New Tribe. You know, and I put God first because in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 37, he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. See? And that's why we are to continue to put the Lord first. A little word, joy. Jesus first, others second, and you last. But sometimes it's the other way around, eh? You first, others, and then Jesus. See? And so we've got to put our Saviour always first. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See? No matter what happens to us out in the fields, out there doing the Lord's work, our reward's in heaven. I'd rather die doing what God wants me to do than do what I want to do. See? In the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See? And that's what you and I have to do if we belong to the King of Kings. We are to stand up and move forward doing the things of our Saviour. There are so many fields out in service today waiting for someone to come, someone to serve. On the back of my notes here, whose job is it? Is it the pastor's job? Or is it everybody else's job? This is a story about four people named. Now you listen to their name. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Remember those four? There was a very important job to be done. Everybody was asked to do it. Everybody was sure somebody was going to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could have done it, but nobody realized that. Everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. See? And that's a beautiful little story for us all as God's children. You know? To make yourself available to do it. I took a funeral once and no one was standing around sweeping the floor or anything like that, cleaning it up. And so I went and got a broom and I started sweeping it. And they said, Pastor, it's not your job. I said, I want to do it, but I've got to move it, start moving it. Otherwise, it'll be still there. See, we don't belong to ourselves. How are we going to win people if we're going to go with them? We've got to be the light of this world. We've got to stand up. We've got to be accountable. God put our feet up on a rock to go forward. Not backwards, not sideways like a crab, but forward. See? There are so many wonderful stories in God's Word. But those stories are there because it cost someone something. It may have cost them their life. Many of the prophets and godly men died so you and I can have the precious word that God has given to us. The word is so precious to us, you know. I caught a plane one day and I was walking around with my Bible up here like this. You know, and one of the brothers said to me, why don't you put your Bible in your case and put it in there and let it go on underneath the plane. I said, I want to keep it close to my heart in case I want to open it up and have a read up on the plane while I'm travelling. See? It's our daily bread. It's our roadmap to glory. The more we understand our Saviour, the more we'll grow and grow. You see a little baby, ain't he? He's like this here when he's born. And if we don't feed him or feed her, they'll die. And that's same with us. If we don't get fed off of this, we'll die. See? Many of our prophets and godly men who have died. Just remember Stephen. He was stoned to death, ain't he? Stoned to death. I wonder if someone started throwing stones at us. I wonder if we'd pick a few up and throw back. Or would we turn the other cheek? Ain't? As God's children. There are So many wonderful writers, you know, in this beautiful book here. They came around to me once and they wanted to sell me a big Cyclopedist book. About that thick, 66 books. And I said, I got a book that thick, I said. And it's got 66 books in too, I said. All in the one book. And he said, yeah. I said, I'll go and get it for you. I went and brought the Bible out and showed him. Yeah, 66 books here, I said. I don't need no Cyclopedist because this thing's right up to date with everything. Right up to date with everything. You know? All we have to do is keep our eyes on the King. Not keep our eyes on one another, but to keep our eyes on Him. Without Him, we won't grow. You know? We'll be finished. Now, same as me. I'm preaching to myself as I'm preaching to yous. I'm having a go at me as well. And if I don't keep my eyes on Him, I won't grow. You know, sometimes these four little easy of ours, they put us through everything. But we've got to keep looking to the King. Because without Him, we are nothing. You know that beautiful little chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light and glory of His grace. Yeah? And that's the little challenges that we've got to have as God's children. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. He don't want us to walk around looking down all the time. He wants us to be looking up, because that's when the rapture happens, that's where we're going to go. Straight through there. In a twinkling of an eye. You and I may have nothing valuable down here, but we are to continue to keep our eyes on the Saviour Himself. You know, in the book of, in our reading here, in verse 21, it says, Jesus says unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and they shall have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. And come and follow me. You know, when he heard that saying, he walked away with his head down, I reckon. Because he had everything. He had everything. He kept it from his youth up. He was a very rich person. You know? And I could tell you a story about a rich person. A rich farmer. Who had everything. And he said he loved the Lord. And you know what? He's not here today. He's going home to glory. Yeah. And so we've got to keep our eyes on things above. And that's why it will always cost us as God's children. But I don't care what the cost is. I'd rather pay it and do what He wants me to do. You know? There are street workers, there are Sunday school workers, there are youth workers. They're walking the streets telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ, like that dear old lady, what my wife told you about. She was in a very, she had a stroke, and she used to always go and sit in there every day, handing out tracts. You know, she said, I want to do this for the Lord. And yet she was a cripple. You know, a lot of us are fit and healthy, and yet we don't want to hand out tracts as God's children. Are you willing to serve the King of Kings? Or are you like what the book of Matthew chapter 9 says, eh? Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 9 verse 37. You know, He said to us in Hebrews there, the last section of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us, you know. Always with us. When I'm walking around, I see my shadow. I say, thank you, Lord, for following me, because I love you. I love you for following me. Because he said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. You know? And that's the guy that I want to serve. I want to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of my life. I want to be his servant. You know? And where his sons, Jack and I, like Jack said, we've all been everywhere. Been everywhere around Australia. And God has never failed us yet. Never. And he won't fail us. You know why? Because he says in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. He said, all your needs, not my wants, but my needs of getting to where I got to go to. See? And to be accountable. And he also tells us to be strong. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, he says, have not I commanded you, Gerald? I'm putting my name in there, because I'm speaking to me. Have not I commanded you, Gerald? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever I send you, Gerald. See? Wheresoever I'll send you. Because I don't belong to myself. I've been brought with the price. And that price is to glorify my Saviour. See? And I want to do all things honouring and glorifying unto him. So when I stand before him, I want to hear him say, well done, my faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom of God. You know that beautiful testimony that Paul said, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's all I want to do. That's all I want to do is do what he wants me to do. You know? And I thank God for the opportunity of speaking his precious word, not my words, but his words. And I want to encourage you to keep looking up. If you belong to the King of Kings, listen to what he's got to say to you. Get out and do the even handing out tracts. Make yourself available for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Me and my wife, we travel around sometimes and we got enough to get there and we trust the Lord to get us back. But you know what? He hasn't failed us yet. We've got there on ours. Expenses of getting there, but he has never ever failed us to come back again. Yeah. You've got to put our faith into action and step up for our Saviour. I'm going to hand it back to the pastor to do what she's got to finish off for you. But it's a beautiful little message. It'll always cost us of doing what the Lord wants us to do. Mm.